You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Christopher DeSimone, Matthew Neely ESQ. How are you doing, sir?
Doing good.
We had a spicy first hour.
Absolutely.
Spent the first segment telling you that you're pretty much insane giving money to the University of Arizona, ASU, or NAU on Arizona Gives Day. You've lost your mind. Stop it. Stop it. So I'm asking you guys, what's a good actual bona fide charitable organization to give money to that's not basically making sure that Dr. Robbins has an organic feather duster for his maid at his University of Arizona paid house? Okay, because he'll get crap from the if he uses a non-organic feather duster. All right, so we've already talked about Gap Ministries, Sister Jose Women's Shelter, Gospel Rescue Mission. We've talked about the Humane Society. We've talked about Treasures for Teachers. We've talked about Mona just gave us SALEF, which of course is the former Police Foundation, Southern Arizona Law Enforcement Foundation. So if you have any more of those, let us know. Love to hear from you. And please, 790-2040, Matt Salmon running for governor in the third hour. And good morning to, first and foremost, former state representative Christopher Ackerley. Good morning, sir. And we have friend of the show, Carlos Ruiz, formerly the co-chair of NOAA on 206. And thank you for your efforts.
Thanks. Good morning.
Doing that. That was an uphill battle, but I appreciate you and Jesse stepping up and doing what you did. So you gentlemen are here today. Oh, and also on the line, we have Nolan Reedhead. Of course, Nolan is also one of the vice chairs of the Pima GOP here in Tucson. Nolan, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Chris. Good to be here with you.
So you gentlemen are, we had former state senator Frank Antonori on two Fridays ago, and he had his airing of grievances, as we say on Festivus, about various things in the GOP. He didn't help himself with a lot of the wakies after I asked him, have you talked to Shelley? Did she reach out to you? Yes, she did. Are you going to talk to her? Probably not. You know, these type of things, you know, you would hope that these things would get done, you know, I'm not saying in behind closed doors, but at least directly face to face. So, gentlemen, I'll start with Carlos. Why are you here today?
Well, Chris, good morning. The purpose of the three of us, we are all board members on the Pima County Executive Committee. So we were in the room. We've been in the room since we were all elected in December, and our first meeting was in January. So I guess our purpose here is to clarify the misinformation that is being disseminated amongst the Republican Party, and also being fed to Frank Antonori and being parroted by Mr. Antonori.
What I find fascinating about the people with their grievances with the party is their enthusiasm, their need, their opposition research on their fellow Republicans is more than I've ever seen them do against Democrats. It's really amazing. It's just fascinating. So, Christopher, where do you want to start off with as part of this discussion?
Well, just to put it in context, I've been in politics as a candidate or on campaigns for the last decade. And so over, I believe, four different...
You've aged gracefully over those 10
oh,
years.
Oh, well, thank you. four different county chairmen. Right? Four different administrations. And it's not just the county chairman. The ire gets directed at the county chairman, but it is actually a team, and it's how that whole executive committee functions.
Right.
And I got to say, we're in a better position and more active, right, with better organization going into an election. You remember, it's an off-year election, right? So everybody thinking that the world was going to change in an off-year election is not the way it works. It's about elections. So we're in a better position going into an election year than I've ever seen in the 10 years that I've been part of Pima County politics. But I think we really want to talk about, what does that actually mean? When we say we're in a better position, can we actually back that up with some facts? And I think we can. And Nolan's probably in the best position to do that, because I'm just in the room. I'm a legislative district chairman, so my position on the board is not as an officer, but as a legislative district chair. Well, you know, Nolan is the first vice chair and intimately involved in the day-to-day.
Why is the GOP in Pima County in a better position now than maybe it's been in 10 years, as Christopher was talking about?
Well, Chris, for many reasons, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I have COVID, so that's why I'm not there personally, but my thanks to Dr. Fauci and his good input, I'm doing okay. And so basically, we ran on several goals, and we've been very successful at accomplishing those goals. And number one, Shelley ran on fundraising. And so we've raised about $123,000 in a non-election year, which is phenomenal. And we cleared over $20,000 from the Lincoln Day Dinner, which magically has become some bad thing, and that's amazing that that's been the case. So that's number one. In a non-election year, $123,000, which is amazing. And number two, Frank mentioned that we haven't been involved in recruiting PCs or getting a ground game going. Well, that's just completely false. We went from 347 PCs in January to 775 PCs as of the present date.
So I think his take is that you lost a bunch and then some came back. I think that's what he tried to say. What's your response to that?
Well, these are newly trained PCs. These are individuals who haven't been involved in the political process, kind of waiting on the sidelines. These may be independents coming in. These are a lot of individuals, and not only are they new PCs, but they're energized and they're motivated. They've been trained. They're getting involved. We've reached out through community outreach, opposition to Prop 206 that we were heavily involved with, getting them trained for election integrity coming up with the elections. A lot is going on, and the most in at least 10 years as far as PC involvement, as far as the ground game. And in addition, communications. You know, we ran on communicating with our PCs and the various organizations. We have eTracks, which comes out weekly. We have eStampede, ePulse. These are calls to action and for specific things. We have school board issues going up, and that's been a huge issue with parents and school boards. We have these calls to action to attend school boards, to participate in the IRC, the Independent Redistricting Commission process, which there's a meeting coming up December 4th. We've been heavily involved in that. So we have had phenomenal success. We've been a model for the state. But even after all these successes, Frank wants Shelley to step down because of his own political aspirations.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by his own political aspirations?
Well, the question, why would he want Shelley to step down? That was his end goal. That's what he mentioned on your show. She needs to step down. Why would she need to step down, being one of the most successful executive committees that we've had in recent memory? Why would he want that? Well, based on, you know, he wants to stay relevant. He wants to put his name out there and future political aspirations. And so that's what's going on. You have, you know, there's opportunity possibly to run for political office coming up here, and there's certain members on the executive committee that may be in his district, and he wants to start putting feelers out there, start putting bad press, if you will, around their names. And so that's the problem. We should be rallying together. It's sad that we're even having these discussions, but we should be rallying together and not care who gets the credit, but rallying together to try to fix what happened in 2020 and then come back in 2022 stronger than ever. And so that's the problem. Frank needs to stop listening to this misinformation, start disseminating false information, get the true information. I wish he would have sat down with Shelley.
Yeah, that's the part that is bewildering to the Wake Up audience, is they like both Frank and Shelley, right? And they know they've worked together in the past. The idea that Frank refuses to meet with Shelley does not help his arguments, right? It's just that, you know, it just feels like it's that one-sided rage, and I wish they would sit together, because they're two of the smarter people I know in the Republican Party, and I do respect both of them very much. So it's been really sad that Frank's not willing to sit down with her. So, all right, we got to go to break. 7:17 in the morning. We have Nolan Reedhead, Carlos Ruiz, Chris Ackerley. This is the Refuting Frank Antonori Hour here on Wake Up Tucson. Governor candidate, or gubernatorial, as I like to say, Matt Salmon coming up at the top of the hour. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30, The Voice. All right, little Bill Bruford Earthworks here on a Tuesday morning. We have the trio of Carlos Ruiz, Nolan Reedhead's on the line, and Christopher Ackerley, former state representative himself. Welcome back, gentlemen. Questions or comments, 790-2040, wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. I do have to take this one moment. Remember, we have our Gap Ministries remote breakfast, $20. I will read the menu to you before it's all over. Chef John Hone is going over the top. Live show with Dee Simone, an amazing breakfast for $20. It's a winner breakfast dinner. And then remember, we're 1 week away from our big Christmas party with Tucson business owners. We will be at St. Philip's Plaza, a special appearance and performance by the Tucson Boys Choir during our party at St. Philip's Plaza. So please join us. If you can let me know you're coming for that, that would be great. It's not necessary, but we just want Grant Kruger to staff up correctly, because if, you know, Carlos got to wait 2 extra minutes for his Tanqueray. I don't want to, you know. Yeah, we don't want to enable
it's
that.
Get ugly.
So there are various statements that Frank made 2 Fridays ago, Christopher. So what are one or two of those things out there that he threw out that you feel factually is incorrect?
Well, I think, you know, this gets way down into the weeds.
That's okay. The Wakeys like weeds. We've been doing weeds for years.
If you've ever been involved in party committee politics, you will know there's nothing more that we love than a good fight about bylaws.
Right.
It's just part of the nature of the beast.
Joe and I used to make fun of the party for years, right? Bylaws or Federalist Paper number 12, you know, page 12, subsection 4. So I got it.
So I understand, you know, based on probably some of the misinformation that Senator Antonori got from some of the folks on the board who, you know, were in the minority as some of these votes happened, and who were understandably disgruntled, you know, accusing us of violating the bylaws. Well, and there were really 2 points that I think that deserve you know, a correction. One was an issue about a conflict of interest, right? Our bylaws say that if somebody is an official officer listed on documents that are filed with the Secretary of State or the FCC, or the Federal Elections Commission, excuse me, the FEC, that they have to recuse themselves from the meetings. Right, we did have
so recuse themselves by not going to a meeting at all.
By not going to a meeting.
All right.
By not going to a meeting. Now, the board can override that. The board can vote to allow them into the meeting.
Right.
Right. It doesn't say that they have to resign. It just means that they have to recuse themselves while the conflict during the primary, because once the primary is over,
right.
That person is the official Republican candidate. But should they actually happen to win? But our bylaws say that they have to be an official officer. One of our members was a paid consultant for one of the campaigns.
Right.
And that probably would have eventually, while it didn't technically violate the bylaws, there's a difference between technical and spirit of the bylaw. And eventually that would have potentially been a violation of the spirit, if not technically the bylaws.
Sure.
But it's a moot point, because she decided that it wasn't really a fit and has resigned from the campaign.
But in the end, technically,
it wasn't a violation of the bylaws.
Okay, that's what I want to make sure here.
Yeah, because she wasn't an official officer.
If the executive committee thought there was a real problem with this, I assume they could have.
And it wasn't a secret.
Right.
It wasn't like something was, you know, she was hiding the fact that she was working for the candidate.
Right.
So somebody could have brought it up. And the second, I think, is the use of funds. Right. There has been some contention that over the course of the last 10 months, right, that every expenditure hasn't been specifically approved by the executive committee. Well, that's not the way executive committees work. When you actually look at the bylaws, it says right in there that the executive committee maintains the ability to delegate that, right, that authority to anyone, right? And here's the catch, provided it's recorded in the minutes. And this is where we got to kind of pile on Carlos right. for a moment, who acts as our secretary. He recorded that the motion was made in the minutes, but didn't specifically state in the minutes what the motion was. But everybody was aware, specifically when we come to the Lincoln Day Dinner, everybody was aware that what the motion was saying to two members who were going to serve as chairs of the committee, okay, we've decided on holding it at the El Conquistador. Go make us some money on the event.
Right.
And that was the end of the story.
And that is recorded in the minutes of March. Mea culpa, mea culpa. I'm not a stenographer. My fingers are a little bit bloodied from the touching metal. So, yeah, my typing and stenography skills.
So what was the specific motion in March for this? Do we remember?
Well, the general gist of it was exactly that, yeah. that those two people were going to chair the committee, right? We yep. were going to hold it yep. at the El Conquistador. We were going to charge, I believe the figure
$65
was
$65 a plate.
Plate. And go make the event happen. Raise as much money off it as you can.
How did that vote go? Do you guys remember?
It passed. It was recorded as a pass.
Okay.
And then
it wasn't unanimous.
I don't recall hearing.
I don't believe that there was any objection, but again,
there's a number of initially when the board got together, when a motion was passed, it was a by voice vote, and it was always yay, nay. And very no nays, so there was no need to be recording yays and nays because they would motion, second, discussion, vote, pass. Okay.
Right. So the people who with the grievances like Frank, is it my understanding that they thought that every expenditure related to the Lincoln Day dinner, right, like whether it was speakers, right, or speaker expenses, especially with Bannon coming, right. Or I know there was, because they were worried about protesters, so we had to pay for some off-duty cops. Did they believe that, they think that basically all of those expenditures, like $400 for cops, needed to be voted on by the executive committee? And then I guess the question is, what's their tradition in the past of such things?
I mean, I can't speculate, because nobody's ever enunciated their problems other than somebody saying, we didn't get to vote on this. We didn't get to. So whether it was a $400 expenditure, oh yeah, that would have been okay. Or a hotel room. No, I wanted to vote on that. We don't know because that has never been brought to our.
And I think it ends up being a matter of perspective yeah. as well. Now you have to remember is that the majority of this board, right, is, well, I shouldn't say the majority of the board because I can't do the math, unfortunately, in my head right now.
What do you teach at Amphi?
Yeah, math. Anyway, my point being is a good chunk of this board, it was new. I mean, every 2 years, there's a good chance that the board turns over completely.
Sure.
So tradition, I don't know. I don't know what happened as far as procedurally in past
okay.
past executive boards.
All right, I got 20 seconds.
Okay, well, I was just going to say, but generally, the idea of an executive board is to approve the categories, not how many stamps were bought and, you know, how far down on the envelope they were.
All right, we're going to come back. We got Carlos Ruiz, Nolan Reedhead, and Christopher Ackerley. Questions or comments, 790-2040. If you have any nonprofits people should give to that's not a university, let us know. Wake up, Tucson. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. It's the Tuesday of Hanukkah. We're rocking it out here on KVOI 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. Carlos Ruiz, Nolan Reedhead, Christopher Ackerley. Gentlemen, we're doing the you guys are doing the Refute Frank Antonori show with us this morning. What other things would you like to address that Frankie brought up?
Well, I think one thing, Chris, is
that's Nolan Reedhead.
Back to the Lincoln Day dinner.
Yes.
The board in 2020 delegated the responsibility to the two people that were chosen to be co-chairs. They organized it. They promoted it. They carried out on their own. They brought back, gave the information to the board. It was a success. You were the MC, which it was wonderful, and it cleared about $500 or so. Frank Antonori was a keynote speaker at that event, and that's the first time I'd heard him speak. I really liked what he said. This year, we delegated the same responsibility to the same two people. They carried it out exactly the same way, and we raised cleared $20,000. And to spend on candidates and success of the party. And so it was run the exact same way, and the board delegated that responsibility to those two same people. And it's just amazing to me that all of a sudden now that's a bad thing when it was done the same way one way, when it was done the same way the second way. And so that is just a little disheartening to see that. And when we were able to garner that much money to spend on campaigns and those types of things.
So I think Frankie brought up the fact that it didn't really make that much money, and then there were like after the fact donations. Not that I care about money's money. What's the reality of that situation?
Well, the question is could we have done better? And the answer to that is always yes. Sure. You could have done better. But you have to recognize that, one, because of the speaker that we ended up getting at the end, right, which was not the speaker that we had initially intended when we had originally approved it.
Right.
It added some considerable cost to the event. It also sold out the event, right? But it added some considerable cost to the event. The event was not selling out and probably would not have sold out unless we had brought in that speaker. And that speaker also cost some additional expense with security.
Right.
Because of the nature of that, and so yeah, so there was some cost associated with that, but at the end of the day, you got to keep in mind this was the first big huge event that we've done post COVID onset sort of thing, and that added some complexity, and we weren't really sure how it was all gonna work out. So the fact that, given all of those circumstances, in the end, and to this point, I think Frank even specifically, and this is way down in the weeds, the reality is even without the, I can't remember what term he called them, but the angel donors.
Right. I think he said that.
Yeah, even without that, we still would have netted $4,000 or $5,000 from the event as we put it on.
The other thing I when Frank said that it's supposed to be about honoring the PCs and not a fundraiser, right? This is another thing, right? What was different about this one, because I emceed the last two events, was that there was a conscious decision to put the PCs getting their awards first before the speakers, right? Which so they had a full room and all the speakers watching them get their awards. Where in the past, like 2 years ago, or 2020, excuse me, it was at the end where 30% of the crowd was walking out as they were getting their stuff because they already heard the speakers and they're like, oh God, it's almost 10 o'clock. Chris goes to bed early. I get it. So I would take exception to that because they actually had the primo attention getting spot in the event, which was before any of the speakers talked. So I definitely disagree with that. So 790-2040, let's go to the phones. Let's go to one of your fellow executive committee, Martina Romero, is on the line. Martina, good morning. Welcome to the show. Nothing worse than Bowserman calling me during a talk show. Please, Bowserman, you're losing your mind. Oh, sorry, Martina. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thank you.
What do you got for us today, ma'am?
Well, I just wanted to call in. I've been listening to the gentleman and talk about issues that we are having in the board. And I am not a disgruntled board member. However, I do have concerns and questions. And a lot of this board, like Mr. Ackerley stated, are new. I think over two-thirds of the board is new. I think we only have like three returning members. So what happened in the past and what was done in the past to a lot of us, to some of us, just doesn't matter. When I'm on the board and I've served on other boards, there are bylaws by which we have to abide by. Bylaws are not done through the spirit. They are done by upholding them because they are the way to do business. And that is how I take this position. It is a business. I represent the precinct committee men that elected me, and I have them to be responsible for.
Are there any specific bylaws, Martina, that you feel has been violated, technically?
Yes. Well, yes. Going to the conflict of interest. It was brought up several times, and it wasn't until the end of October that the person stated she was no longer employed, even though it was brought up months prior to that. She was paid. There were records in the FEC filings. And, you know, the fact is that we weren't told. Had that come forward right away, you know, just tell us. Just let us know so that we do have that option of saying, okay, is there a conflict? Is this person who was contested from the very beginning, by the way, is this person going to events that are being held? Is he at the picnic? Is he given? That was not given to us. That right was not given
to us.
So
let me give Krista an opportunity to respond to that real quick, because you were the one who talked about this, Chris.
Well, again, I understand it. And this would have eventually, like I'm saying, this would have eventually become an issue had it continued. There's no question about that, right? If somebody's a paid member of a campaign, right, and they're on the executive board, that's going to erupt into an issue eventually. But I go back to the point, the people have been saying, well, she was listed on the campaign documents. Well, that's only because she was paid, and she was listed as receiving payment, right? But so were anybody who donated to a campaign. So saying that anybody who donates to a campaign cannot serve in a leadership capacity in the executive committee of a county, that would be unreasonable. But let's go back to the
manager. She was listed as campaign manager. She listed herself on her LinkedIn page as his campaign manager. She was representing him at the Trump rally in June as his campaign manager.
And
so
yes,
it was not done in the spirit of it. It was in black and white. It was in ink. And yes, it could have been a further issue, but it was an issue to some of us, and that should have been addressed when we first brought it up. And it wasn't.
So in the end, is it technically a violation of the bylaw?
My contention is going to be that no, it is not, because there are only two positions that are officially listed on the campaign filing documents, and that is committee chairman and treasurer. Right? Those are the official officers that are listed on the documents. I don't know. It might be a little bit different of FEC, but still not an official officer.
So
the position that you call yourself outside of those official listed positions, it is a matter of public relations, not a matter of technicality. And so this didn't technically violate the bylaws. But like I said, it becomes a moot issue because it's no longer a conflict.
So, Martina, two questions for you. Do you believe it was it technically violated the bylaw?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
That's okay. Do you believe the situation we're talking about technically violated the bylaws?
Yes, I do. Because the bylaws, it states any office or staff. And staff to me is consultant. Staff to me is someone getting paid. So, yes, it was a violation of the bylaws. But like he said, it's a moot point now because she has stepped down. And so now that is not an issue. However, I would have liked the opportunity and as far as integrity for her to have come forward with that. And as far as other bylaw violations, it clearly states in the bylaws that the executive committee has the sole power to execute funds or to give in full or part to somebody the ability to do so. And we never did that. And we're not just talking about Lincoln Day. We're talking about all other funds and expenditures that have been coming out. And, you know, we did it at the beginning. We were doing it at the beginning. We were getting three bids for events for Scott Pressler. We even voted on him coming. So we were doing it at the beginning. Somewhere along the way, we got off track.
Nolan wanted to say something. Nolan?
Yeah, Martina, you're not reading the bylaws correctly. It doesn't mention staff. Basically, I'm reading directly from the bylaws. It says any officer member at large who becomes a campaign chairman or campaign treasurer or any other governmental elections, well, let me back up, or any other campaign officer who is so identified in election documents filed with the appropriate governmental election office. She was not listed on any, like Chris mentioned, with any FEC or Secretary of State listing. And a LinkedIn page does not matter. So technically, there was no violation of the bylaws. So let's be clear. There was no technical. Now, Chris, should we update these bylaws and make them more clear? Most definitely. These are old bylaws. We have to go through a specific process to amend them. There was no technical violation of the bylaws with respect to a conflict of interest. But should we amend them and update them? Sure. That's we've said that all along. But then, Martina, with respect to the disbursement of funds, the executive committee maintains the authority to delegate such power and authority in whole or in part. That's what happened.
We voted for a $65 plate. And Chris Ackerley admitted that in our October meeting. He stated, we did not vote for a budget. We voted for a $65 plate. It is on the recording. We looked for it. We did not vote for a budget. We voted on a $65 plate.
Because we delegated those responsibilities to them. They have
no, we did not. No, we did not. We did not.
Can you see the fun we have?
Yeah, we have fun.
We have fun. It's exciting.
So I guess, Martina, I got two questions for you. Do you believe that the Pima GOP is in a good position to take on the 2022 elections?
Yes, we could be. We certainly could be. You know, there's a lot of very smart, intelligent go-getters on the team. When it comes to elections, I'm sure that we're going to all put our best foot forward. But I do think that we need to start following the bylaws.
Would you like Shelley to resign?
No, I wouldn't want her to resign. She has been a strong leader. However, I would like a little bit more communication and a little bit more fairness on the board. You know, showing up to clubs with partial board with her, that to me was divisive. To us, what we're bringing up questions in the board during the meeting, I don't feel is divisive. I feel these are entitled, we're entitled to do so as members of the board. We all have equal votes on that board, regardless of position, regardless of chairmanship or member at large. We have equal voting power, and we should all be treated as equals.
And my last question for you is, isn't this the discussion? So when Shelley has reached out to Frank to have this discussion one-on-one, isn't that the, before we go out, because we Republicans are great at circular firing squads. Shouldn't we be having this discussion one-on-one first before everyone went on the radio?
No. Well, unfortunately, it was taken out of the boardroom, not by me. So, unfortunately, that was taken away. I have not been reached out to one by one, so I cannot answer to for anybody else, just for myself.
Well, Martina, I appreciate your input today. I appreciate the call. So, and
thank you for allowing me.
No, I'm glad you did. This is what we want to do. I don't want to have one-sided one way or the other on this thing. So, I appreciate
you so much.
All right, have a great day. Martina.
Bye-bye.
That's Martina Romero. Let's go to break, and we'll finish up with Chris Ackerley, Nolan Reedhead, and Carlos Ruiz. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk, Matt Salmon coming up next. All right, my boy Steve Howe bringing us in. One more segment with Nolan Reedhead, Carlos Ruiz, and Chris Ackerley. It's the Frank Antonori refuting hour. It's like the airing of grievances in Festivus. Now, one of Frank's concerns two Fridays ago had to do with the way redistricting was heading, and somehow the party wasn't doing a good enough job of getting the districts kind of the way he thought they could be. So, Christopher, what's your response to Frank's concerns about redistricting?
So redistricting is always interesting. I mean, elections are important, but once every 10 years, the whole political universe sort of stops for a moment. And in Arizona, the way we have this structured, it's kind of a farce that we have this independent redistricting committee. But it's not. We have an independent redistricting commissioner. And the entire political universe right now is revolving around this one person.
Right.
And so anybody who's paying attention to redistricting, and for everybody who's out there listening, this Saturday on the 4th, one of the final redistricting committee hearings is going to be happening in Tucson. And I encourage you to get involved and be there, because this is vitally, vitally important. But this, the entire political universe is revolving around this one person. And every time that one person makes a statement or asks a question, everybody recalculates and then all splits up into different coalitions on different sides. So it's a completely fluid, chaotic, just you know, really hard process to grip around. And the reality is, districts are going to be drawn. And the way the law is written, federal law trumps, you know, what we do in the state. And so there has to be majority-minority districts, which means that in southern Arizona, Grijalva gets his district. That's protected by federal law. Grijalva gets his district. And so there's going to be some communities in Arizona that are Republican-leaning that have to be in that district. That's just the way it works. And everybody's
Frank's contention about redistricting?
Well, I think Frank's contention might be a little bit more at the legislative level.
Right.
Right? But the reality is the way that redistricting is going, we need to show up, because there's the potential that we can actually get some solid Republican representation, Republican-leaning districts from southern Arizona, more than just the one. And so it's vitally important to be polled, but there's always going to be chaos around that. And to glop onto one issue of that, it's just it's just way too fluid to make that make sense.
Nolan, what do you got for me? We only got about 3 minutes here or less.
Well, he was upset that there was a map submitted, by one of our board members.
That's right.
Clark, that somehow Frank heard from a left-wing reporter, Mr. Jeremy Duda, that Commissioner Mayle was influenced by this map, which is to say that Anna Clark was in cahoots with SALC and all these groups, which is just nonsense. Anna, as an individual, submitted a map, and that map is really not even in play right now. We're looking at map 10.0. That's the one we want to get a hold of. And so the attacks against Anna Clark and our chairman, Shelley Kais, are just totally unfounded. They're totally without merit. And so Frank has been so concerned about Pima County, but he's never participated in any of the meetings or events in Pima County. I've been at every one of them, and we've had massive turnout by Republicans, by PCs. That's why we have such good hopes for Map 10.0, and we hope everybody will turn out on December 4th, but Frank just needs to focus on his area. He needs to focus on, but not be attacking others who are trying to get good maps for Pima County. And that's what we're really trying to do. And we think we will. This map 10.0, looks to give us some good opportunities to get good representation here in Pima County, which we have not had forever, as we all know.
I was confused by Frank's admiration for the reporter being part of a newspaper that crapped on him while he was in the legislature all those years. So I thought it was cute. I was very confused. So we got about a minute here. So Nolan, give us why is the party in a good position moving forward?
Well, we're in a very good position, especially on a non-election year and off year. We have the money in the bank. We have the PCs being trained. We have just motivation. We're prepared for the redistricting that's coming out. We just need to work together. And I think that's the problem. If Frank would have gone to Shelley Kice, a lot of this would have been knocked out. We could have avoided all this. And that's the problem. We need to work together as Republicans to focus on the most important thing that's coming up in 2022, which are these elections. So the party's in a great position. If people want to join, be involved, participate with the communications, go to PimaGOP.org. Participate, get involved, receive the emails that come out, the e-tracks, e-pulse, e-stampede. Get involved with your school boards. Get involved with candidates. We had a candidate school that was so successful that you were at, that I was at. We have some good candidates that are coming out. We need to be involved together and join together and not be, like you mentioned, Chris, circular firing squad. That's what's going on right now. We don't need it.
So the DeSimone is, you know, setting it down right now. We're having these conversations. So the next stage of this is for the disgruntled folks like Frank and all these other folks. Go, if you're not talking directly to Shelley and Anna and the crew here and trying to do this like normal people, I can't keep doing this on the air. Both sides, okay? Figure it out. You're supposed to be freaking adults. Okay, you can't sit here and tell me Shelley Kice sucks, and when she calls you and texts you, you say, "Well, I didn't return her calls." What? What are we doing? And then if somehow you have real good conversations with these people and you think they screwed you again, give me a call. But until then, go figure it out like yourselves on your own, like freaking adults. I'm done with it. You can go on the Garrett show. You can go cry in him all day long.